This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Text for consideration is recorded for us in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. God's word is truth. Please be seated. Amen. Moses killed a man and got caught. He ran and settled in a foreign country for 40 years. And at age 80, the Lord called him to go back to where he was a known killer, to Egypt. And as a shepherd, demand that Pharaoh release about 2.2 million slaves, the Israelites. It took 10 plagues and 2 collapsed walls of sea waters to finally get away. And Moses led these people for 40 years right up to the promised land. What a great leader and a great man. We all have our good days and we all have our bad days too. In the text for today, Moses had had enough. He is ready to quit and throw in the towel. It's year 2 of getting out of Egypt, year 2. The people had ungrateful hearts for a loving God. Every day, every night, Moses heard the people wail and moan about how good they used to have it in Egypt as slaves and complain about the bountiful goodness and provision of the Lord. It leads Moses to grumble against God. What great misery you have brought upon me, Lord. Why, Lord, why did I conceive or give birth to these over 2 million people that I somehow have to take care of them all? Moses says this word for word in the verses before our text. He says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now if I have found favor in your eyes. And some of you are thinking, wow, you know, Moses, you are on the edge there. I can't believe someone who has faith in God could ever get so frustrated. Parents, you know exactly where Moses is coming from, because on Wednesday that was your prayer and you're thinking, he had 2 million and I get frustrated with 2. God hears you. God blesses you with help. He provides opportunities for sanity to settle in upon you. Thank goodness little kids sleep a lot. And if you have teenagers, I don't know how you do it. Maybe it's a piece that you get when you realize that they'll be moving out of the basement when they're about 35 years old. And you think, we're halfway through, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But somehow, some way, know that God's going to provide peace. God's going to provide patience. And God provides answers. And God does that with Moses. And what God does with the ministry of Moses is the same thing that God does with our ministry together. He works out of the same principle. God says to Moses, bring me 70 known leaders among the people. These are people of respect and integrity. Bring them to the tent of meeting. And it is the Lord himself who takes some of the spirit that is upon Moses. And he multiplies it out to the 70. And he says, Moses, these are the people who are going to help you carry the burden of ministry. And friends, being a believer and a member of a congregation, it's not a spectator sport. This is a place, this is a congregation of ministry, which is activity. It's God serving us through the word and sacraments. Worship itself is not only listening to the sermon. It is you confessing your sins, receiving forgiveness from God. It's you singing and responding to what God has done for you through Jesus Christ with your life. And it's you encouraging that person who sits next to you who had a Moses moment earlier this week. There's a danger that lurks within every congregation. And the danger is for the person in the pew to think this, that our job is to watch the pastor do all the ministry. And the danger is that every meeting and every thought in ministry is geared to create a to-do list for pastor. Maybe it's something relational. Pastor, my kid hasn't come to worship in a year. When are you going to go talk to him? Have you talked to him? No! I'm his parents. I can't talk to him about worship and stuff. Well, that's ministry that God has given us together. How can we work together on it? Pastor, my neighbor doesn't go to church. I don't know when, but somehow, some way, you better stop and share Jesus with him. That's a great idea. This is ministry that God has given us together to do. How can we work on it together? You know, for a pastor, the danger could be two things, really, and they're complete opposites. One, he thinks that he has to do all of the ministry and won't let anyone else or equip anyone else for ministry. Or two, he thinks that all a pastor should do is preach and teach and leave the rest of ministry alone. The ministry of the word, which we all do together, takes cooperation and coordination. And all of us working together for God's glory and for the greater good. That's all what it's about. Where we fail in this dance of ministry, if that's what you want to call it, stepping on toes and not leading when one should lead. Well, confess your sin to one another and forgive one another in Christ and keep dancing the waltz of ministry. You see, God equips you for ministry as God calls and equips the 70, so God calls and equips you. And yes, there will always be me dads and eldads among us. And in our hearts, we know that we have been there too, certainly. I know I've been there. People called to serve but ditch out. Called but ditching out on responsibilities to serve the body of believers or sharing Jesus. Called but ditching out on even parenthood or fatherhood or motherhood. You know, if the Lord calls you to ministry, to serve as a Sunday school teacher, God bless you and be with you as a church council member, as a part of serving our Savior. There's sign-up sheets in the back if you want to get involved in this ministry. Or as an usher, or one of the 22 different ministries that it's a part of this congregation that has names to them, including the thousands that don't have names, and especially the ministry, all the different ministries that you do, the ministry of you. You know, no matter what the ministry and no matter what your attitude is to that calling, that ministry, the Lord has called you. And your attitude doesn't negate your ministry. You hand out bulletins and five people walk past you without taking a bulletin. Lord, if this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now if I have found favor in your eyes. You know what? Attitude, it didn't work for Moses. Attitude didn't work for Eldad and me, Dad. It didn't work for Amos. It didn't work for Elijah. When we ditch out on our calling, God, please forgive us for all those Eldad and me dead moments. God, forgive us for our Moses moments. Lord, give us others to help us. And then, brothers and sisters in Christ, confessing those sins to God, we walk to the baptismal font and see where our sins were washed away when God called us his child. That is certainly the greatest calling ever. And we see the cross where Jesus shed his blood to cleanse our heart, mind, and soul. We know exactly what Jesus has done. Our guilt, our sin, our ditching out is gone. He has called you to serve. He has equipped you to serve. And what joy is this? He gives us a spirit to serve and serve with excellence because you serve the Lord. And here, Moses' plea, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Friends, he has. And the spirit of the Lord rest on you. And take up your ministry. Take up your calling. Yes, Moses, Eldad and Medad among us, mom and dad among us, little one among us, pastors among us, the spirit of the Lord is poured out on us all. And at the end of the service, you will hear these words. Hear them now to brothers and sisters. Go in peace. Live in harmony with one another and serve the Lord with gladness. May it be so. Amen.